สัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะบุตตังสรณังกัจฉามิธัมมังสรณังกัจฉามิสังฆังสรณังกัจฉามิดุติยัมปิบุตตังสรณังกัจฉามิดุติยัมปิธัมมังสรณังกัจฉามิดุติยัมปิสังฆังสรณังกัจฉามิตติยัมปิบุตตังสรณังกัจฉามิตติยัมปิธัมมังสรณังกัจฉามิตติยัมปิสังฆังสรณังกัจฉามิปานาติปาตาเวระมณีสิกขาภะดังสมาทิยามิอาทินาทานาเวระมณีสิกขาภะดังสมาทิยามิกามิสุมิจฉาจาราเวระมณีสิกขาภะดังสมาทิยามิมุสาวาทาเวระมณีสิกขาภะดังสมาทิยามิสุราเมรยามัจจาปะมาทัทานะเวระมณีสิกขาภะดังสมาทิยามิเควิวัชานะปูชานะปฏิบัติปูชากันนะสารปฏิเทนะดิเทนะตามาดังสีนาติโลกดิปังสัมบุดังปูชายามิตามโนดังกันดะสัพพรายุทเทนะดุเพนะหังสุกังเฮนะปูชเยปูชานิยังทังปูชาบัจนะมุตตมังวันนะกันดะโกโนเปตังเอตังกสุมาสันทถินปูชายามิมุนินดาสะสิริปาดาสรโรเหปูเจมิบุตังกสุเมนาเมนาปุณเณนาปัตตะเณนาจาโหตุโมกังปุปังมิลายติยัตตาอิดังเมกายโยตถายติวานิสาภาวังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปานิยังปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปฏิกังหันตุมุตตมังเคทันตุเพจ18นะ we will make the aspiration we invoke the aspirationbased on our understanding of the significance of this puja offering. So we will chant together, significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein.Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilement within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense.Which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flower. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on with cultivate sila, samadhi, panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Okay, we will invoke the overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, then sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, thank you. So now we will pay respect to the Triple Gem. Bedang pecah ni. Damang pecah ni. Sanghang pecah ni. Okay. Now we can start the meditation. I will off the light, then after that we can start. Okay, relax body and mind, silent everything. Then just maintain awareness and heedfulness. For those who already developed the spiritual faculty, you actually can straight away silent your mind. You don't have to train it anymore. But for those who are still not really so stable in their sati, mindfulness and their spiritual faculty, you need to train, you train. You need to stabilize it, you stabilize it. You can use any skillful means that are suitable or appropriate. Initially, you can start off with the mind sweeping method, combined with metta. This will bring about what they call the decondition of the heedless thinking if you feel that you still need to do it. Then after that deconditioning, because you just feel relaxed, your thinking has been like shut off. So this deconditioning will bring about a more calm and peaceful mind that is more aware, that doesn't have the momentum to continue with the heedless thinking. Then once you are able to do that, then you need to develop what they call inner well-being. So you combine with metta. So mind sweeping method combined with metta is a very good way of training the mind to develop inner peace, inner well-being that will cut away the major hindrance. So when sadha and virya is there, sati will stabilize. So for sati to arise, you just feel relaxed, no more thinking. The moment the mind is silent, sati is already there, so you don't have to really do anything. So you try to maintain more and more moment of this silence. So initially, because this sati has yet to stabilize, the thinking will continue to come and disturb you. That's why the Buddha prescribed a skillful means, which he termed as anapanasati, to train your mind to develop only mindfulness. No need to know anything, just mindful of this in and out breath. The moment you are able to center your mind on your breath, means this breath is always within the moment, following the breath. So, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. Because the breath is always within the moment. So this mind that is aware will be with the moment in silent awareness without thought. And you can develop this anapanasati for a while. The sati will stabilize. Then as it stabilizes, you will experience the various form of mind state, born of a mindful state of mind. The mind that is mindful is peaceful, aware within, silent. And because of that, the various type of mind state like piti, sukha, and paccati can come about, can develop. So meditation initially is about training the mind to be mindful, then stabilize it so that it is ever mindful. So a mind that is ever mindful, you can use it to meditate. You combine the two, it becomes appamada, heedfulness. So the whole of meditation is to train your mind to be heedful throughout the day. That's why this training is very useful, very important. So initially, most living beings, they don't have the spiritual faculty. The spiritual faculty are not stable. That's why Lord Buddha taught us the easy way, but very effective. He taught us puja, to develop the five spiritual faculty to counter the hindrance. So when you develop the puja, you reflect, contemplate, pay respect, renew your, what they call, refuge, renew your five precepts. All this will bring about more and more moments of awareness, heedfulness. So it will bring forth the training of the mind to be more and more aware, more and more heedful, less and less heedless. Then when you come to the form of meditation, it is just to develop the stability of this sati. So the form of meditation is a very good condition for you to actually develop the training of the mind, so that this sati can be stabilized. You can use any skillful means, either anapanasati or any appropriate skillful means. Those who are used to the traditional rising and falling, you can also use that. Or dynamic meditation, or any of the chanting, or any of the what they call recollection of the Buddha's name. And for those using the Thai tradition, you can also use the mantra Buddha, 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 breathing in Buddha, breathing out Do. Whatever skillful means that can anchor your mind and stabilize it, you can use it. Then after the training has developed, you continue to use the four support for meditation. Always remember to relax into every mind state that arises. As you relax, all of the wholesome state of mind, whether piti, sukha, or whatever, it will become more and more refined, more and more refined. Then body and mind more and more relaxed. Means more and more at ease, without tension, without stress. The mind is very light. very peaceful, very clear, fully aware. That is the meditative state. Then as you develop this and become very skillful, your mind develops what they call pasati. Pasati is a tranquility state of mind, stillness of mind. When you have pasati, the mind is in the meditative state of inner stillness, inner tranquility. This mind is what we call the meditative silent mind. And this one can understand many things. It can develop the direct seeing. It can become aware of all phenomena that arise within the phenomenal world through your sixth sense door. Then that mind is very, very sharp, very, very sensitive and very clear. It can develop a lot of understanding on its own. It can investigate into all dhammas. Then when all this investigation stand up to the investigation, the mind will have a lot of joy. The faith in the Buddha and his teaching will become more and more stable until it becomes unshakable. Then the virya will develop and become very strong. Then when virya is there, sati will stabilize. It will drive you to cultivate diligently. Then when sati stabilizes, samadhi will develop. When sati and samadhi is there, if you can carry it into your daily life to live with that mind state that you have trained, then wisdom will keep on arising, the last of the five spiritual faculties. Then when this spiritual faculty become very stable until it become balance or powers, the seven factors of enlightenment will arise. Then the understanding, the wisdom will continue to straighten your views until you are throughout the day more and more heedful, less and less heed, less and less heedless. Then your reaction to sense experience due to your wrong view will become less and less, will start to like slow down and finally cease. That's how your mind can actually develop very stable sati and samadhi. When sati samadhi become very stable, this mind on its own can insight into phenomena, can develop great understanding. So meditation is about developing this spiritual faculty until they are very stable. Then use it to develop wisdom via the cultivation of the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, the Four Foundations of Mindfulness, the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation. So all these are essential dhamma that you need to understand. Okay, I will let you meditate on your own. For those who already know how to meditate, you just silence your mind, relax everything, then stay at the heart. Then whatever that come to your awareness, just be aware, silent. You can detect any heartbeat, any vibration, or any what they call problem, phenomena within your heart area. You just continue to relax into it and silence. Then allow the mind to be. The last support is trust. Trust means don't use your thought. Let the nature do the meditation. When the mind is silent without thought, that nature will do. The awareness will actually detect. Let the phenomena come to your awareness. Don't go and look for it. Then through that silence, a lot of the essential dhamma can be understood. Okay. Now I will let you meditate on your own. In about 10 to 15 minutes time, I will ring the bell. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. Produce a banner. Slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then we will continue with our puja. So turn to page 6. We will invoke the invitation to the devas. I will chant the first part. So before that, I will read the English translation. Invocation to the devas. In the universe in their entirety, let the devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sage, who gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Samanta Chakavalesu Atra Gajantu Devata Saddamang Munin Rajasa Sunantu Sakamongkalang Dhammana Savanan kalo ayang bandata, Dhamma savanan kalo ayang bandata, Dhamma savanan kalo ayang bandata. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Iti piso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho. Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati. Svakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehi pasiko opanaiko pacatang veditatbo vinohiti. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasango Ujjupatipanno bhagavato savakasango Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasango Samichipatipanno bhagavato savakasango Yadidam chattari purisa yogani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato savaka sango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakineyo anjali karaneyo Anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati. Okay, we turn to the next page. We will chant the paticca samuppada. Avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnanam. Vijnanam paccaya nama rupam, nama rupa paccaya salayatanam, salayatana paccaya paso, pasat paccaya vedana, เวทนาปัจจัยตัณหาตัณหาปัจจัยอุปาทานอุปาทานปัจจัยบาวะบาวะปัจจัยจัตติจัตติปัจจัยจารามรณะโสกะปริเทวะทุกขะโทมนัสสุปายัสสัมภวันติเอวาเมตัสเกวลัสทุกขคันธัสสะมุทโยโหติอวิชชายะเยวาอสิณะวิรากานิโรธสังขารานิโรธสังขารานิโรธวิญญาณังนิโรธวิญญาณังวิโรธนามรูปานิโรธนามรูปานิโรธสลายตนะนิโรธสลายตนะนิโรธปัสสานิโรธปัสสานิโรธเวทนานิโรธเวทนานิโรธตัณหานิโรธตัณหานิโรธอุปาทานานิโรธอุปาทานานิโรธบาวะนิโรธบาวะนิโรธจัตตินิโรธจัตตินิโรธจารามรณะโสกะปริเทวะทุกขะโดมนัสสุปายัสนิรุจันติเอวเมตัสเกวลัสทุกขคันธัสนิโรธโหติสาธุสาธุสาธุ Okay, we pay respect to the triple gem. บดังปุจเจนี่ดัมมังปุจเจสังหังปุจเจโอเค thank youTonight, I cannot remember already. I don't know whether Tuesday night or Thursday night. Somebody is supposed to report something. Those who just came back from retreat, one, who are they? Oh, nobody from this, what they call, Wat Na Long. Those who went Wat Na Long, they are not from Tuesday class. Okay, now...Mostly Thursday class. Then there's another one. Oh, I think Mimi. Mimi is supposed to report. Was it you? Share your what, Long Prabang experience. Yeah, she texts me. Then she say, maybe wait till tonight. I don't know whether she or which kind of meet up, I forgot already. Because nowadays, I receive a lot of very...positive feedback. It seems almost all of the Kayanamitta who went for either retreat or their own practice, when they came back, they text me and some call me. It's like they benefited a lot from the training that they had by attending all those classes that we haveActually, shared with them. So, all this understanding became very useful, especially the understanding of what is meditation, the understanding of the essential Dhamma. and how to develop the real sati, the silent mind, and how to actually cultivate following the essential Dhamma, starting with the spiritual faculty. Then from there, train the mind to be aware, heedful, stabilize it. Then with all the sharing that we had, they start to understand many, many things. Yeah. Then there is a lot of joy every time Dhamma is being spoken. Then every time when they have this condition to be silent, to be peaceful and mindful and aware throughout the day, their mind become different. Then through that condition, through those silent mindfulness and awareness and heedfulness, the contemplative wisdom keep on arising. Then some of them, they are able to actually progress very well, penetrate in their own way. Then all of the daily mindfulness understanding start to arise. So these are all the very positive feedback. Like this afternoon, I think Mimi and Joyce came and invite me and my wife to have a lunch. Then we had some nice discussion too. So in Cantonese, like, you reap a lot of what they call benefits or whole tire sawok. Means after you have the understanding, when you go for retreat or any of this self practice, you will receive a lot of benefits. Because that understanding makes a big difference to your cultivation. Even those who went for the, I was told Bubs, there was a retreat, Yun Chan was there. The recent Bubs, Pasano, Achan Pasano. Pasano. You want to share something? You were there for how many days? Until the last day. You want to share something? Where's the mic? Pass to Yun Chan. Then after that, we get Mimi to share. Push it out. Push it out.
I picked up, he mentioned earlier, he said, whenever you're chanting, you are conscious of what you're chanting. So you know, I grasped that one. I said, okay.
Means you chant with understanding. Not only you conscious, you chant with understanding. Means with the faith, sadha, virya, and the understanding. That's why you are no longer parroting. You know what is parroting or not? The parrot repeat. Repetition comes from memory. When you do something repetitively, then it becomes like habitual, mechanical. Then you just rattle it out. So that is parroting. But when you chant with the faith, with the sadha, with the virya, then with the understanding and the clarity, the Dhamma goes in. So like meditation, it has to be done with understanding. Understanding can only arise when there is clarity. And clarity can only come about when the mind is silent. That's why when you chant with full awareness, the chanting and the awareness become one. Then the understanding is just like, because this chanting you have already reflected, contemplated, developed the understanding of what this chanting is. It's just like when you chant the salutation to the Buddha, or salutation to the Dhamma, or the Sangha, the Triple Gem. And when you chant with understanding, Iti peso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho, every word, the meaning very clear. Like iti peso, sashinti, bhagava is the blessed one, blessed with whatever, virtue, wisdom, all those things. So when you chant, you're understanding the faith is very strong, the saddha is very strong, then that clarity and the faith will actually assimilate the Dhamma. Yeah. So the meaning become very different. Yeah. The nine great virtue of the Buddha gets like magnified and become very clear to you. And to have such a great being to be your teacher, you will have a lot of gratitude and respect towards the Buddha, because he is such a great being. So when you chant Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava, the meaning is very deep. You are not repeating from memory, understand? A lot of people are repeating from memory. Even Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa. You check yourself. How many times when you chant this salutation, you are actually repeating through memory? When you chant with understanding, it's totally different. Namo is homage to thee. Namo Tassa, homage to thee. Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho. So homage to thee, the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened. You understood the whole meaning. That's why that chanting is very different. That homage is very different. You really pay homage from your heart. So this understanding is very, very important. That's why I always emphasize on you must meditate, chant, reflect, contemplate with understanding, with clarity of mind. That's why the silent mind has to be there. And it's very important. The moment you can see this difference, even metta, you radiate from your heart. You don't just parrot. Like a lot of people don't understand, they just follow the text. May all beings be well and happy. Just the word come out. You don't feel. Initially, you have to chant with that feeling inside. May all beings, you feel all the beings, be well and happy. You feel their well-being and happiness radiate to them. Then even to your own body, may I, you feel your entire body and mind being. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy. Well, you must feel the well-being within you and the happiness within you. Each and every cell within your entire form and mind, the entire being. And then only is effective. Then it has an effect, because that metta will bring about inner well-being, then inner calmness, inner peace. So all this, slowly, slowly, as you cultivate with understanding, as you develop it until it becomes very stable, then you realize everything you do is so different. Every puja you do is so different. Then you are very different. That's why I say the Kayana Mitta nowadays, they are very different. When you start to do all this with understanding, with clarity of mind, with heedfulness, when you start to really keep your precept through understanding, your nature become very different. You are a true cultivator. That's why I say, Dhamma is not what you think. The moment you penetrate and you understand, you have a lot of joy. Then you do with a lot of understanding and clarity. So that is what Dhamma is all about. Good. Thank you so much, Yinja, for the hearing. Anything else? Oh, no more. Pass to Mimi. Okay. So Mimi recently went to this, what they call Long Prabang. They passed through Ventian. On the way back, they met Mi Fong Deo, Ellen, Sister Lian Deo. They also from Wat Na Long came out, same flight. So the world like so small. The world like so small. Okay, Mimi. Now it's your time to share.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Okay, I will split my sharing into 3 parts. The first part is I want to talk about doing things with really silent mind do really benefit ones that walk the path. The one that I want to share is, I actually have this experience when I was offering ropes to the one in one of, I think twice in the monastery. When before I do the offering, in fact throughout the journey I was very mindful, I didn't actually talk much. So is my roommate, so we didn't really talk a lot. And during the bus journey to any location, I also didn't talk much because I sit and silent my mind and in the meditative state. So when I walk to the walk or the temple, I was very mindful. If I'm supposed to offer, then I will offer. Destined to for, I mean they actually have names on the ropes for who to offer. So before I do the offering, I was very mindful because I went into the temple. I just sit down because I notice a lot of people when come to Dana, they are very they want to be the one that is first to offer whatever. So I leave it be. And while I'm offering, I'm also very mindful. Then after I offer, I was very mindful. So I make it a point that before I offer, I rejoice with all the kaya meter. And when I'm offering, I also rejoice the condition for me allowable to do the offering. And after I offer, I also rejoice that everybody have a chance to partake in this. So when they do the chanting, and this is where I see the benefit of Lord Buddha say, when you do dana, you got to, before you have to be very mindful and rejoice. While you're doing, you really have to rejoice. And after offering, you must also rejoice. I was filled with, I tell you, the pity was so strong that I was in tears when they start chanting. And both the occasion when I offer ropes, I really felt that way. It was so strong. And the same thing happened to me because this is my second time to Rong Prabang. So we have the Pintapat also. And this time I really sat down, prepare myself, whatever they had prepared for me to give to offer to the monk. So while waiting for the monk, I was actually meditating, silent my mind, and I don't partake in any conversation with whosoever. So this time when I really do, I was like rejoicing, and I can even sense different monk has different energy, you know, very strong. And some of the very well cultivated monk, when they walk beside me, I can also feel the difference of their energy. But to me, it's no duality. They are just who they are. So when I do, after the offer, I also rejoice. And I tell you, the pity was so strong. That's why from after doing all this, I really reflect on the doctrine of what Lord Buddha teaches. You know, the power of mindfulness. When you do dana, you must, before, you must rejoice. While doing, you have to rejoice. And after, you must rejoice.
Very good.
So this was very clear to me.
Oh, sadhu.
So this is the first part.
Okay. I maybe just add a little bit. So whatever offering that you do, if you know how to develop the wholesomeness, it will benefit you the most. That's why under the teaching, the Buddha actually mentioned this. Although most of the time it's quoted in the Abhidhamma, the higher teaching. Oh, come, joy is here. You see, the Buddha said, Somanasa sahagatang, jnana sampayutang, asangkalikang. These are the three conditions you must fulfill when you do wholesomeness. Whether you make offering or you pay respect or whatever. So manasa sahagatang, just like the Malay word, suma masa sahagatang is rejoice. Like what Mimi do. When you can rejoice at all time, means before you do that wholesome act. When you do, before you do, and after you do. On all these three occasions. That's why it's Somamasa, Somanasa, something like that. It's not exact translation. But it so happened, it sounds like Malay words. Somamasa. Somanasa, Sahagatang. Then Jnana is wisdom, understanding. Sambayutang means you do with understanding. You don't do because you follow people. Understand? People say this is good, then you follow. Means you do without understanding, you only believe. That one, the merit is not so powerful. But when you do with understanding, when there is condition to do, you just do. Understand? Then the last one is Asangkalikang. Somanasa Sahagatang Jnana Sambayutang. Asangkalikang. Asangkalikang means spontaneously you do, without hesitation, without second thought, without being prompted. Understand? No need to wait for people to say, hey, this one very good, no, you go and do. So initially maybe you need people to prompt you. But later on, you do it spontaneously. When there is condition to do, you will just do. Then you will arise the joy. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You will just know how to rejoice. Then you will know how to do. Then you will know that there are conditions to do. So you don't do out of greed for merits or whatever. You do because there is condition to do. Somebody contacted you and informed you, you want to go or not. Then spontaneously you say, yes, I want to go. Okay, I will go. Then that understanding makes big difference to the wholesomeness that you do. So that's why this one is without the three evil roots. Without greed, without delusion, without hatred. So that is the important aspect of all dhanaparami or wholesomeness when you perform with understanding. So she experienced that when she was in Lomprabang, making the offering of robes to the monk. Then she is not in a hurry. She like patiently just maintain silent mindfulness awareness. As long as there is condition to allow the mind to be heedful, peaceful and silent, they try not to even arise any speech. They just accord and flow. Then they just rejoice. So that's why when you accord and flow and rejoice, it not only cut away unnecessary, unwholesome thought, negativity, born of heedless thinking, but it also gives rise to merits. Because the rejoicing, altruistic joy, is a type of merits, a meritorious action. When you rejoice with the wholesomeness of what people do, and when you rejoice with the good Dhamma that you hear, and when you rejoice with your own wholesomeness, all these are meritorious action. So rejoicing is one of the four Brahma Vihara mind states that Brahma cultivate. In fact, all the what they call enlightened beings, they also, in some point of their cultivation, they cultivate all these four equally strongly. Metta is the first of the four Brahma Vihara. Metta is loving kindness, universal love, loving kindness that spread to all. Then after metta is karuna. Karuna is compassion. The compassion and great love for living beings. Compassion to help living beings, to bring them across, to relieve their suffering, to bring about the understanding that can actually help living beings. That's why they cultivate very seriously. They penetrate all the nature's law, all of Dhamma, so that they can fulfill their vow to liberate beings. That's why Bodhisattvas and Buddhas, they are very different. They not only cultivate to realize their own enlightenment, they cultivate to develop perfect wisdom all around, so that they can do the job and perform the function of great beings, especially in the area of great compassion. Then the third one is what Mimi was trying to develop, rejoicing, mudita. And this parami, I very strong. My nature very strong. I have perfected it before. And I rejoice a lot on during the early days of my cultivation. Even as I share also, you realize every time when I hear wholesomeness and good dhamma, good understanding, I will rejoice, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And that one is very important. Even during our puja, we rejoice with all the wholesomeness, all the generosity, all the understanding, and all the great kayanamitashi that have arisen, and all the, what they call, good consciousness, the collective consciousness, and with all the, what they call, beings that are around, joining us, rejoicing in all this wholesomeness. So all this will bring about great benefits to living beings. Then after that, you invoke the power of merits to bring about causes and conditions for wholesomeness to arise, for you to walk the path of Dhamma successfully, and for whatever, what they call, wholesomeness that you want to develop out of it. Then the last of the four Brahma-vihara is, the Buddha call it equanimity or upeka. Upeka, there are two types. One is born of a conditioned state. The mind is in a state of concentration or absorption or condition until it's very, very calm, very still, unmoving, collected, unwavering, very, very calm, very still. Even lightning strike, nothing can disturb the mind, it's so still. So this one is also upeka, because it's in a state of equanimity. The mind does not stir, and it's already very, very still, very peaceful, very fulfilled. It doesn't need anything else. Then they have a lot of metta. That's why this Brahma, they live very long, and this mind state make them very calm, very peaceful. But the only danger is all this mind state can bring about concentration, absorption, the conditioned mind that make them like very peaceful, very calm, very still. That's why equanimity is very strong. At that type of equanimity, you have to be careful. In the Salika Sutta, the Buddha explained all the eight jhanas that they experience, all the Brahma that take birth up there, they got this 16 Brahma rhyme. The clang talk I gave, remember? Samatha Vipassana. How, when you develop all these jhana, you will take birth as Brahma up there. Then, after the 16 Brahma state, these are for those who develop the first to the fourth jhana. For those who develop the fifth to the eighth, they call it the formless jhana, arupa jhana. They will take birth in the formless realm, arupa loka. So all these eight jhanic states or experiences that they develop through the mastery of the jhanas, they do not lead to enlightenment. The Buddha stated very clearly in the Salika Sutta. So this Salika Sutta came about because this brother of Sariputta, Venerable Chundari, he knew at that time many of these monks outside who developed this jhana and jhanic power. They equate it as enlightened, because to them, the mind really has equanimity. They are like enlightened, which is really true. So the Buddha explained once and for all, for the rest to understand. He told Chunda, he said, those who manage to develop all these jhana, first jhana, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth, to them, it appear like they have become enlightened. They abide in the here and the now, in peace, in joy, in tranquility and stillness. But the Buddha said, to the enlightened disciple of the Buddha, they will understand that this is not liberation, this is not enlightenment, this is just abide in the here and the now, at ease, in peace and joy. So there is a big difference. So all these eight jhana the Buddha explained. Then after that he expounded Venerable Chunda, how enlightenment come about, how you need to cultivate by releasing the mind out in the normal state of awareness, so that it's not a conditioned state. Then from there, allow the sati and samadhi to allow you to see things as they are. Samadhi should not go into the very, very strong state of samadhi. The Buddha said it should be at the threshold of apana samadhi, which is upacara samadhi. So when you are at the threshold before you go into apana, apana means absorption, concentration, stillness, means the mind lock, become one-pointedness, no more thought, shut up, everything become concentrated, one-pointedness. It cannot move. During that state, all of the hindrance, they are suppressed, cannot come out. So that is a conditioned state. Your defilement, your anusaya, latent tendency, ask about, they cannot come out. Where there is no condition for it to come out. So during this time, you may think you are enlightened. But then, if you release it out to upacara samadhi, then the mind is in a natural state of awareness. But there is sufficient samadhi to make it collected and unwavering. It does not stir. But it is not a conditioned state. It is just silent, aware. There is some form of samadhi or firmness, so that it can allow you to develop the daily mindfulness, the heedfulness, to see things as they are, to develop the wisdom, the understanding of what is going on, how your mind is conditioned into negativity, how through delusion the evil roots come about, and how the evil roots stir the mind and condition the form and mind into suffering and all those things. Then through this understanding, the mind develops wisdom, panya. Then it starts to straighten its view. Then it starts to develop a type of mind that is different. And this mind, the real equanimity, I told you the second time, born of wisdom, the mind that does not react, does not stir, but it's not a condition. There is a free mind that has wisdom, to see things as they are, to understand the reality. And this mind, born of wisdom, is the true enlightenment factor of upekkha. So that is a big difference. That's why upekkha got two meanings. One is a conditioned state, one is a free mind, supported by wisdom. And that one is the real enlightenment factor. The other one is not a real enlightenment factor. The other one is a conditioned state that make the mind like that. Then you are like enlightened, but actually to those who has gone through the cessation, they will know this is not enlightenment. Your enlightenment is not like that. Enlightenment is the form of mind completely cease to be. Then even the pure awareness also cease to be. Everything seems to be. You cannot talk about it. There is the unconditioned. That's why it's very different. That's why he said to the enlightened disciple of the Buddha, the Arya, they know this is not liberation. This is not complete destruction of asavaka or defilement. So that Salika Sutta actually expounded very clearly, and they break down all the what they call the negative mind state that you need to avoid, to overcome. The Buddha subdivide the three evil roots into 44 mind states that you have to cultivate to develop the wisdom to actually deal with them, so that it can bring about enlightenment in the here and the now. So that sutta is very useful. Yeah. Okay, maybe you can continue. Yeah.
The second part of sharing is something that this trip I really have a very good experience and realization. Because in this trip, I was very silent most of the time. I actually can see the kayamitas that go together in the trip, how they can get themselves entangled into unwholesome state of mind, because it was so clear to me how all these things they get themselves into it. And with this silent mind, I can really watch, and it was so clear. And also at times, there's one time when I was sleeping, I also can see my mind, the very subtle defilements also when I was in my thinking thought. So, and with the wisdom, I retrospectively look into the roots of that, and I can actually straight away cut off whatever thoughts that I have, you see. But it was not a lot. But I can see a lot from among the kayamitas. And then how from there is actually like I'm watching a movie and my wisdom keep on arising. And that is very helpful. If that will actually help me to, if I were to, you know, live within this mundane world, so I must be in that state of mind and able to live it with equanimity. So that was a very beautiful experience, because I can really see how people get stirred, how people get themselves into all this entanglement, and I was like a third person sitting very far away watching it, and I was like, oh, okay. So this is really very beautiful.
Yes, Father. Okay, just to elaborate a bit, maybe some of you may not grasp the full meaning of what Mimi tried to share. Because as you go through the cultivation, you will start to understand many things, because when your mind develops this ability to be silent, ever mindful, heedful, it becomes very sensitive. And through your own understanding of your own form and mind, how defilement actually come about, how it stirs you through delusion and wrong view, and how the mundane mind get entangled with all these things. Then after you have developed all this understanding, you start to straighten your view, then you start to see your own transformation. Then you start to understand how beautiful the Dhamma is. Then after that, when you have that mind state, you have that type of sensitivity, that mindfulness and the heedfulness, then you will be fully aware of what is going on within the environment. Yeah? Within all those who are having relationship with you. So what she saw was kayamitas and even others. Yeah. Then later on, as you see more and more, then you will come to understand through your own cultivation how you are born into that family, how you have brothers and sisters who are like that, how your parents are like that, why are you connected to them. That you will start to understand. Then especially later on when you come out to share, when you are ready, yeah. Just like what I have gone through, I start to see different people with different conditions, how they come. Then how some of them, because of their past affinity and condition, and maybe their aspiration, their vow, their affinity, everything, they were able to benefit. They were able to actually develop the understanding and continue with their cultivation. Then some, before they connect, there are coming obstruction. After they connect, they move very fast. Then some, the condition are not fulfilled because there are some condition that brings about the ability to meet up and all those things. But there are also karmic obstruction or karmic conditioning due to their past action and whatever that will bring about the condition for them to move away, yeah, or leave and separate. Mm. So all this you will start to understand. Then when you start to teach, then you will know different people, different past, they have different inheritance, they have different character, they have different personality, their meditative experience are different, how they become what they are, their karmic construction and all those things. So all this is very, very unique and different to the individual. So if you don't have that type of wisdom that can allow you to understand what is going on, actually technically you cannot teach, you cannot share, you cannot cope with all this diversity and different type of karmic conditioning. So that's why in order to have that all-knowing understanding and wisdom to teach and to share, you must cultivate like the Bodhisattva. You must penetrate all Dhamma, see the dependent origination, the conditioning behind. You must understand the law of karma until it's very, very deep. That's why a lot of this understanding sometimes is not from this life. For me, I know there are a lot of things that I understand, I never learned this life. But somehow, when I connect, the understanding just comes. Then I just know how to teach, I just know how to share, I just understand why it's like that. Yeah. So this one is what made me start to go through. She start to develop this. Then in future, when she is ready to share, all this will be very useful. Then if she determines strongly this life to cultivate all this understanding, then it will prepare for her in the future to inherit all this understanding. Because you can also learn in a faster way through mindfulness and heedfulness when you are in front of great beings, listening to their teaching, their sharing, and their explanation, and their understanding. All this will assimilate and go in. Then you make determination to cultivate this way sincerely until your nature also able to penetrate all of this Buddha Dharma, nature's truth, until you also have the ability to help and liberate living beings. That's why to fulfill that vow of the Bodhisattva, you must have a lot of resolve, a lot of faith, a lot of sincerity to walk this way, to actually cultivate sincerely. And all this is possible, it's not difficult. So that is the part I want to add and share. Let us say sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, maybe you can continue.
Okay, the last part is something very beautiful that I observe. I would say the beautiful persona of some of the character that the Kayamita have exhibited. I think I can give you three examples here. The first example is I see Brother Lee and the wife, Pat. Both of them are, I think, is quite old. Brother Lee is about 70 and then Pat is about 70 plus. I can see the love and the metta that this couple, these two old couple have for each other. And the wife is walking, her movement is very slow. And actually looking at them, it really inspired me a lot. You know, the loving couple, how they walk the path, you know. And the love and the compassion they have for each other. So it was very beautiful. The second observations I have is Brother Johnny, he was ever ready for the old age mother. That is the part of filial piety that I see. And these are all very beautiful signs that really inspire me during the trip. And the last one is, let me think. My mind cannot remember.
It's okay. Maybe I will just elaborate on the first two first. When you recall, you just share it first. So when you have this ability to be sensitive through your mindfulness and awareness, you will know how to actually rejoice in all the wholesomeness that people have developed and cultivated. So that two examples she gave is quite good. But the first one, it depends. Because if she can later feel, sometimes you need to be very careful because normal living beings, like they are very elderly but very loving couple, understand not? They walk the path together. If they have the Dhamma that is very beautiful, then there will be non-attachment. But if they don't have the Dhamma, it can become attachment. And it can become very serious. When attachment happens, not easy, I tell you. Maybe Yun Chan also know of a case, Brother Tan. You told me that day, the Uncle Tan. He and the wife also last time very close, very loving. But when the wife passed away, he was so sad. He has so much Dhamma. You can ask Stephanie. Some of us visited him, but he was so sad. Then recently, Yun Chan told me he was told he had a stroke quite bad and bedridden in the hospital. That's the way the physical will go, the way of nature. Then, affected, definitely, because this will lead to attachment, because that love that come without Dhamma can become serious attachment. But the good thing is how they actually care for each other, the love that they express, because even despite their old age, they still support each other. But what you need is the number. Because without the Dhamma, it becomes attachment. Then it can bring about a lot of suffering, just like what Yun Chan, they all have come to know about this Uncle Tan. He also very elderly, and they were very beautiful couple too. The wife is also Dhamma all this while, I think, 20, 30 years at least. Both in Dhamma very long, and Uncle Tan is the one that do a lot of this printing of the Dhamma book in Vipassana Center. All the binding nicely done up is all mostly prepared by him, done by him, printing everything. So he actually contributed a lot to the printing of Dhamma book and all those things. And he has a lot of what they call kindness, sincerity to do this Dhamma work. But because the Dhamma understanding is not penetrative, that's why he still suffer when the wife passed away. There was so much sadness. Then his life become very different. So he is affected. So like Yun Chan say, he know this couple that Mimi talk about, and he can feel that because of their attachment to each other, if one of them were to go first, it can lead to a lot of suffering. So whatever it is, it's the sensitive mind that can see the wholesomeness, how they care for each other, how they love each other. But the danger is, by nature straight away feel is, living being, most of them, unless they have the Dhamma, they will develop attachment. When you love too deeply without understanding, it becomes attachment. Even those who think they have the Dhamma, I use the word think they have the Dhamma, because you say, ah, yeah, for me, okay, one night, when it happened, nothing, one night. When it hit, you can check. It's very different. We are mundane, it's mundane. You attach, you cling. But when you already realize what the form of mind is, when you have already insight into it, completely nothing at all, understand? There is no reality. But the mind that is deluded will grasp, understand? Because the memory, the thought, the accumulated memory, the relationship that you have with them, the thought keep on arising. When my spouse around, how loving, how caring, how she do all this thing. Now you feel like something missing, and that thought is very powerful, you know. That's how people become depressed, get into all the chronic type of depression. Because that thought is very powerful. Then, like we always said, the Buddha said, Sankara anicchang, Sankara dukkhang, Sankara anatta. Now, you see clearly. Anicchang is only a thought come and go. But how come it's so powerful? It can make you so miserable. There's a Sankara dukkhang. And you cannot see the non-self or empty nature. Then it has power to delude you and stir you into misery. Where your thought will project, then it will have a lot of this feeling, like you miss something. How nice if he still around, can share all those moments. How you have your food together. These are no more reality, but the thought project. Then it becomes so sad. Now no more. Cannot have this type of life anymore. Nobody understand you. Then you want to lock yourself. You seclude yourself, you don't want to meet people and all those things. Then when people come, you also become like very, very unhappy, because it shows you can know, you can feel them. They are no longer their old so-called self. Understand? So all this is one aspect. But the second example she gave is very good, the filial type. Filial piety to take care of the elderly mother is very, very beautiful. And there is very few of these children who actually have that filial piety. And you can see one, you are very blessed, because this style of filial piety and love come through their past cultivation. You must have that in you, then only you can do. Otherwise, human being, when you are not enlightened yet, as a puttajana, you tend to be selfish, and I tell you, very, very selfish. You will never want to do all these things. It's only those who can have this love and understanding of past cultivation, means they have done this before, they have reflected and contemplated into all this, how the parent has sacrificed for them, how the parent has cared for them, provide for them, love them, gave them so much of this thing. So that gratitude that arises, the filial piety will naturally become the outcome of all this understanding. It's only when you understand how your parent actually sacrifice and care for you, provide for you, that you can have this gratitude towards them. Then you want to repay them somehow. That's how filial piety come to be. Then there is this love. Then you can do all these things. And these are very wholesome. And this one doesn't lead to attachment. With filial piety, you will not lead to attachment. You just want to do your part because you have a lot of gratitude towards them. But when it's time for them to go, you will know. You will wish them well. Go peacefully. We already grown up. We know what to do. You don't have to care for us anymore. It's our turn to care for you. Understand? That's why a lot of children know how to do that. Understand? And they always feel so blessed, because when their parents are still around, they have done so much of this thing. Understand? Not like others, after the parent gone already, only regret, if I know he's going to die, I would have done this. So all this is the thought. Then they become very remorseful. I shouldn't have focused so much on my career. I shouldn't. All this type of thought start to come. Too late. Yes. Pass the mic to Yun Chan. Yeah, you say there's one organization.
The Tao Hui, I don't remember. They
the Tao Hui.
The Tao Hui is the...
The Tao Hui,
it's
right?
It's Moral Uplifting Society,
another one.
I can't remember the Mandarin version.
Okay,
they teach also in English.
Very good.
Children and adults.
Philippines.
All the Confucius teachings, no?
Oh, okay. 弟子规, is it?
Ah, 弟子规.
Very good. Very good.
I think that was very good. Some of them went and then they came back. They went and knelt down and offered tea to the mother. Washed the feet and all that.
They teach you how to actually repay your parents. Express your gratitude, your love towards them through the understanding of how they have sacrificed for you, how they have provided for you, care for you, and do all those things for you while you are sick, while you are young. They sacrifice so much for you, and they give you life, you must remember. Without them, you will never have this form of mind to come to this world. So whatever it is, there are these parental condition behind. Then, like the Buddha said, you can never repay your parent, even if you were to carry them on your, what they call, shoulder for 100 years. I don't know how long, I forgot this. One of the Mahayana Sutta said, that is the only way to repay them. Otherwise, no amount of this, what they call, care and love that you give to them can replace what they have done for you. Understand? You cannot repay your parents' sacrifice, love and kindness, even by carrying them on your shoulder when they are very elderly until they die. That type of what they call philopiety still cannot repay them. The only way to really repay them is to bring them to the Dhamma. To have affinity with the Triple Gem. And with that, you more than pay them. It's no more about mundane type of wholesomeness and goodness. It's about the supramundane life that can lead to enlightenment, liberation, freedom from suffering and all those things. That 弟子规 one is not bad. I heard from Gu Moy also. Because this teaching is getting more and more popular, I was told. Mimi, you can recall the last one or not?
The last one is this sister, Kayamita. She has this ability to ever ready to care and love. She were, you know, is I saw her like buying a lot of souvenir things, you know. And she was so nice that she gave one or two of it to Sister Pat. And I asked her, why you give to Sister Pat? She's here, she can. She said she got problem walking, so I believe she is not buying anything. So that's the reason why I gave it to her. So this is one example. The other example that she ever ready to care is she makes sure that everybody wants coffee will be given coffee. Or there are many other examples. But the disadvantage of my observation is if we are too carried to be in that kind of state, you can have a depletion of energy. So that's why that when we cultivate, if you want to do good, we have to be wise, you see. So I actually saw her. So one morning we had breakfast. So I sat, she came and sat with me, and I was like, very nicely, I can highlight to her. If not, then she will be having a lot of leakage of energy that, you know, she's doing good everywhere, but not a very wise way. But that little part of things that she did is, I observe, I think that's very good. So that's why with this mindfulness, silent mind, I actually watch all this, and if areas that I myself have not perfected, I definitely can benefit from all this direct seeing. That's the end of my sharing. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. So again, this one, the third one is, I think, quite common. You can see a lot of normal living beings. Sometimes they have certain views or conditioning to them. They think by doing all these things is very wholesome, very good. So like Mimi said, this lady is very considerate, very caring. Then he tried to help as many as possible in whatever way. But like Mimi came to realize, this one is mundane, more towards the mundane aspect, although it's still a wholesome action. A lot of kindness, a lot of goodness, no negativity. But there is some form of what they call delusion, in the sense that all these are, she used the word like leakages, energy waste. It's not really leakages in the sense that like you wasted your energy, but when they are at that state of mind, with that conditioning, with that understanding, with that karmic conditioning, they will do this type of thing, understand? Then you will accept them for what they are. Of course, to a cultivator, you will have this style of understanding that if he has directed this energy, or this faith and this understanding to the cultivation, he will be so much better. Definitely is the case, but when they are not ready, they are not ready. So you can see it very clearly. But if there is occasion and condition to share, like what she said during the breakfast time, she tried to like share with her and let her understand on the more important aspect of life, which is the cultivation. But don't try to like influence or condition people into accepting what you want to tell them. When there is no condition, just let things be, just rejoice. When you have the understanding later on, you will come to know no condition, nothing happens. Got condition, you will know what to do. That's like accord and flow. So Dhamma is very unique, very beautiful. Okay, so like I said, today is our last Tuesday class for the year. After that, we have a break. We only come back in January, I think. January 6th, is it? 6th, Okay, so we will stop for two Tuesdays. Two or one? One only, Okay, good. One Tuesday. So, 201 for, we end it out with a final summary of the cultivation. Okay, I will. That's why I retain this whiteboard writing. I didn't clear it. Somebody help, come. Push it forward a bit. Okay, it's okay. Can really. So coming back to the cultivation, we will summarize it one more time. So the Buddha make it very clear. First thing you need to do to develop the cultivation that will bring about the enlightenment is to cultivate what? No, before he passed away, he gave the advice. Appamadena sambandeta. Yes, very good. You must cultivate heedfulness. As long as you are heedful, you have appamada, you are destined for enlightenment. Understand not? That's why Dhammapada verse 21 confirmed that. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless, the heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead, the heedless are as if dead. So first thing is to cultivate heedfulness. Understand? And we already define what heedfulness is. Heedfulness got two parts, remember? Ever mindful, plus to use that mind state that is ever mindful to cultivate wisdom, or the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is the Noble Eightfold Path. And within the Noble Eightfold Path, you have the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, you have the three right views, you have the Noble Eightfold Path practice. Then you also have Samasati Path factor, which is also the cultivation of the Four Foundation of Mindfulness. The four right effort to deal with the unwholesome thought, wholesome speech, and unwholesome action. So all of the Buddha Dharma, the teachings are all there. So you only need to train your mind to be heedful, to be aware. As like the Buddha said, you need to understand why are you not heedful, not mindful. How come your mind is not peaceful? How come it is the way it is with so much hindrance, so much heedlessness? So the mental hindrances, the five mental hindrances, are the one that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner awareness, and inner mindfulness. So because of that, the Buddha said you have to cultivate what? The opposite five. You don't go and suppress, control, and fight the hindrance. You cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculty to overcome the five mental hindrances automatically. That's how you start. And how do you cultivate these five? You start with what? No. Before Sada, how you do this? You have to do the puja. That's why the Buddha said you start with puja, understand not? Well, this five spiritual faculty, you know, is sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, panya. But how does it come about? You have to go and develop puja, understand not? And this puja is tailored by the Buddha to help you to bring forth the condition for all these spiritual faculty to arise, understand not? Understand not? So apart from the puja, you also need to do the five daily contemplation, asana. Then the three turning of the Four Noble Truths. But this part, you cannot do if you don't have sati, you don't have sadha, you don't have virya. Because without the spiritual faculty, very difficult to do all this, asana. But when you start to do puja, the spiritual faculty arises, asana. When the spiritual faculty arise, you become more heedful, less and less heedless. You have more and more moment of what they call peaceful mind. Well, when you have faith means what? When your sadha is very strong, your faith in the Buddha and his teaching means what? The mind is very calm, very composed. Correct not? The mind that is very calm and very composed is not restless. Understand? No more doubt. That's why it's very stable. Then when you start to understand who the Buddha is and how wonderful his teaching is, that will spur you to cultivate. The virya will arrive. When virya arrives, you will overcome sleepiness, asana, lethargic mind and all those things. Then that virya will drive you to diligently pay respect mindfully, cultivate the formal meditation, develop the daily mindfulness, until this sati stabilizes. That's why sadha, virya, sati will develop. Then when sati stabilize, samadhi develop. When sati and samadhi is there, you will see things as they are, wisdom develop. Then when you straighten your view, you start to have more and more understanding. Then your mind will not be like before, reactive, heedless, and all those things. Understand? That's how when you have wisdom, you straighten your view. Then every time when you straighten your view, when you experience something through your senses, when you see something, hear something, smell, tactile, feel or think, you will not react and respond like before, understand? You have more wisdom that will lead to more equanimity, more heedfulness. The mind become more and more silent, more and more peaceful, because there are a lot of things you will never do anymore. And that comes about through a training. And that training, according to the Buddha, after you develop the puja, the spiritual faculty will arise. Then you make aspiration, understand not? By invoking the power of merits and wholesome. When you do puja and you listen to Dhamma, those things, when you develop religious routine, when you attend Dhamma session and all things, you cultivate the 10 meritorious section. Then you make aspiration. It brings about causes and conditions for you to move along the path of Dhamma, to avoid the foolish, the heedless, meet up with the wise, so that there is condition to develop the understanding and become enlightened. Then after that, when the spiritual faculty arise, the hindrance disappear, your mind become more and more mindful, more and more heedful, less and less heedless. Then you use it to contemplate the 5 daily contemplation, then cultivate the 3 turnings of the Four Noble Truths. As you cultivate the 3 turnings of the Four Noble Truths, the 3 types of wisdom will develop. That's why the constant listening to the Dhamma will develop the first type of wisdom, Suttamaya Panya. Then when you start to reflect and contemplate into what you have heard and stabilize it and assimilate it through your contemplation, reflection and inquiry, the second turning wisdom come about, Chintamaya Panya. Then after that, when you cultivate mindfulness, daily mindfulness, to insight into phenomena, to develop the 4 foundation of mindfulness, Bhavanamaya Panya, the third type of wisdom will arise. Wisdom born of the meditative mind, born of the silent mind, the meditative mind that is aware within silence. So these practices, the 3 turning of the Four Noble Truths and the 5 daily contemplation, will bring about a lot of right view, right understanding. Then when the right view and right understanding come out, it will straighten your view. Then you will know how to actually allow your mind to be less reactive, less what they call heedless. So the mind that is more peaceful, less heedless and less reactive, is more calm, more peaceful, more silent and more aware within. But there are a lot of defilement, asava, that you need to deal with. So if you want to understand the full range, the Buddha recommends you cultivate Sabba Asavak Sutta first. Sabba Asavak Sutta teaches a very important understanding. The Buddha said the first thing you need to understand is this self-delusion. If you don't have right attention, when you attend to things that are unfit for attention, the unarisen defilement or asava will arise, the Buddha said. And the arisen defilement or asava, they will become more and more proliferate. Yeah. But if you attend to things that are fit for attention, the unarisen defilement asava will not arise. The arisen asava will cease to be. So this one is very important. Yeah. But this is very general, understand? So every time when you experience something through your senses, like you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, tactile feel or think of something, then your mind stir and react. Understand? Then you don't know how to deal with it. You know this is not fit for attention. But you cannot do anything. You try to control, you try to suppress, you try to do all those funny things that people teach you. But it doesn't root it out. Understand? So the Buddha said, there are 6 ways to attend to different types of defilement. He said the first one is when you pay attention to things that give rise to all this what they call defilement, that the unarisen asava it will arise, and the arisen asava proliferate means you are actually perpetrating self-delusion, means the egoic mind is active. Because like when people go and think, was I my past life, so and so. If my past is like that, do I have this ability? Then how can I inherit this ability? Now, then how can I actually aspire to take birth in that existence and all those things? Then will I be such and such in the future? So all this, they say, give rise to a lot of wrong view, because you think there is a person who take birth. You think you were in that life. Eh? You were so and so. Yeah. But the true understanding is completely different. That's why after the Buddha enlightened, when he reflected and contemplated on dependent origination, how living beings get born into different mind state after they pass away because of their karma. Initially, the Buddha actually reflected and saw his own so-called past life, and so one life, two life, then the limitless life. But he never said this was menial. He said he was born into that form of mind that carries that name, and he was so and so in whatever family or what, and he know that is the five aggregate of form of mind, that segment of the life, and it's not him. That's why he always say that life he was born as who, so and so, that five aggregate of form of mind, the segmented life. So it is very different from a person who thinks that there is a permanent, unchanging soul that transmigrates and one life to another. So that soul was dead. Then after that, that soul transmigrates into another life. Then take another birth. But the same soul continues. The Buddha said there is no such thing. There is no such thing as a permanent, unchanging entity that is responsible for all this migration. That's why in the what they call certain teaching, especially Tibetan, they use the word what? Reincarnation. Reincarnation. The Buddha never teach reincarnation. You never reincarnate into another one. There is another segmented form of mind through your aspiration or vow or whatever. But there is no continuity. There is just a condition arising, last thought moment, condition, rebirth, consciousness. Then the karmic, born of your karma, head to your karma, conditions, whatever, you are what you are because your karma, karma take over. Understand? Then from that form of mind, that first thought, rebirth, consciousness, it will start to evolve. Understand? But supported by all the karmic thing. Then when you are able to connect, then the spiritual thing comes. Spiritual nature take over and connect. Otherwise, you forever. That's why I say 99.999% living being driven by karma. That's why the Buddha said you are born of your karma, here to your karma conditions. So you are what you are because of karma. Before you connect, 100% karma. After you connect, the 0.0001 are the enlightened beings who are not subject to karma. That's not. So because of that, the Buddha said, you have to reflect on only the Four Noble Truths. Again, this one. It's three turning and the various types of contemplation. Anusaya. Anusati. That's why you got Buddha Anusati, Dhamma Anusati, Sangha Anusati, Marana Anusati. All the various Anusati is contemplative Dhamma. Anusana. Means you contemplate on the Triple Gem. What are they? Like when we chant the salutation, then we reflect and contemplate into them. Then Marana Anusati, Buddha Anusati, all this. Then the five daily contemplation, the three turnings. So all these are how you reflect and attend. And these are right for attention. Things that are fit for attention. When you attend on this, when your Dhamma understanding develop, the unarisen asava cease to be, cannot arise. The arisen one cease to be, sorry. The unarisen one cannot arise. So this is the only thing you have to attend to. And the Buddha called it the handful of leaf, the Four Noble Truths. So the whole of the Dhamma cultivation is, that's why you have to be heedful throughout the day to develop the wisdom by cultivating the essential Dhamma, the Buddha Dhamma. Especially the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. Five daily contemplation is part of the second turning. All the anusati is also part of the second turning. Okay, then he said, after you have developed that understanding, then you have to go and break it down. He said, you have to exercise sense restraint. when you see something and the mind stir, want to react and create negativity, like violating your precept, you want to kill, you want to harm, you want to deceive, you want to commit sexual misconduct and all those things, you want to partake intoxicant, then you recall to mind your precept, understand? That's why you must chant with understanding, like Yun Chan come to realize. When you chant, Panati Pata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami, you must know what is this. Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami means what? You undertake the training rules to abstain from killing and causing harm to fellow living beings. So when you realize the mental intention want to become transgression maybe because of your wrong view, because of your craving, your lust, or your anger, your emotion, your fear. So what must you do? You exercise restraint. Understand not? Understand not? Because you have undertaken to keep the precept, and you don't exercise restraint, it will become transgression. You will break your precept. That's why you cannot cultivate. So precept is for you to exercise restraint. Because you undertake the training rule not to do all these things. Understand? And yet, if you don't have the wisdom and the mindfulness, you will break the precept. That's why you have to exercise restraint. Then after that, certain things you have to endure, is it? Like bodily sickness and pain, all those things. You need to seek treatment, you go ahead. But before the treatment come, you have to endure. Understand? You complain also no use, understand? Body is sick, mind become more sick. But if you restrain, then you know how to endure, your mind will be peaceful. Then when there is condition for meditation to come and help, then well and good, understand? Then you do what you have to do. Then certain things like the four requisites given to the monks or what we receive from people's offering or parents, we should have understanding and use them appropriately through understanding so that we are not deluded by it, so that we don't foolishly get entangled with it, understand, and attach and cling onto it. So proper use is mainly the four requisites that the monk receive. Then avoidance is you have to avoid the foolish, the heedless and dangerous situation. Otherwise your cultivation, your path will be actually delayed. You will meet with a lot of obstruction. If you don't avoid all this, your form and mind is very delicate, very fragile, very vulnerable, easily gone. Any other condition cease to be or not there, this form and mind is gone. Then you cannot cultivate, you cannot continue your pursuit of the spiritual path, the perfection of your spiritual faculties, and the perfection of your spiritual nature. So all this, even your karmic nature will be affected. So you need to avoid, you avoid. Then abandon is the four right effort to abandon the unwholesome thought, unwholesome action and speech that have already arisen. Then the unwholesome livelihood that you have actually unknowingly through delusion developed. So all this is how you actually attend to all this defilement. So these are all different classes of defilement. Then the last one, all those are not covered under the above. You have to develop the seven factors of enlightenment. Understand? So when the seven factors of enlightenment are there, you will know how to liberate your mind. So this is a very important aspect of the cultivation. So that's why when you have this, then you can deal with most of the defilement. Understand? But if you want a detailed one, you go to Salika Sutta. The Buddha expanded this into 44 more very specific defilement. So this summarizes the whole practice. Okay? Then after this Salika Sutta, when you understand already, when you cultivate all this, you are actually cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path. Understand? Right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right effort. Then right livelihood, then right effort, then the right samadhi, and the right sati. So all this actually is the four foundation of mindfulness and the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation. And this complete the whole understanding of the cultivation, pariyatti. Then you put it into practice. So phase one and phase two of the Dhamma are all summarized here. That's why this January the 9th, Klang Talk, they want to know about daily mindfulness, or moment-to-moment cultivation, or mindfulness, awareness. So I received one e-book from the Pradagan. I think they thought that book was very good. They want to follow that book. But when I reflected and contemplated, I realized you do that, you cannot penetrate, because that book doesn't understand what the real sati is. And the whole cultivation is not like that one. It's not just mindfulness. Mindfulness is just a very small part of the whole practice and cultivation. You have to start with the understanding of why are you not peaceful. The spiritual faculty, the puja. All this, if you don't understand, you don't develop a religious routine to be heedful, ever mindful, whatever you cultivate, no meaning. You go retreat, then come out, you exercise moment-to-moment mindfulness until you are so mindful and you have fantastic meditation experience. You come back to society, you become heedless again. You won't transform, I tell you. You can only transform when you are throughout the day, most of the time, aware, heedful, cultivating noble eightfold path. Yeah. So this whole understanding is very important. So let's hope 2014 will end with a beautiful countdown. So that it will bring about the causes and conditions for you to understand the beautiful Buddha Dhamma. So with this, you will progress very fast in the year 2015. Some of you already have quite a good understanding of this. With this summary, you listen to the recording again, it will help you a lot. I have repeated this over 3 or 4 sessions. But this one is the most detailed one, I think. Okay? So we end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. So we will do the sharing of merits. Transform merits. Then after that, you can invoke the blessing for the nation. Then make your aspiration. Then I will wish you all a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. So that we can have a very good New Year. The 1 or 2 week break was good, so that you can do whatever you want, because there's a lot of holiday in between. Christmas is a holiday, Thursday. Then 1st of January again, holiday is a Thursday. So you take 1 day off, you get 4 days. Friday, Okay. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasatta cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakhan tu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform merits to departed one. Idam menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idam menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idam menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Let this merits accrue to our departed relatives, and may they all to be well and happy always. We will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati hetu cha pito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Then you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu Yava Nibbana Pattiya. By the grace of these merits that we have acquired, may we never follow the foolish and the heedless, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, Pusyan, and all the worthy ones.